Take your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning, and let's turn to the book of Genesis. Real easy to find. First book in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And we want to begin looking at verse number 5, and follow down with me, if you would, through verse number 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through verse number 9. Notice what the Word of God here says to us in this passage. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Stop and think about that for a moment. What a thought, where God is so grieved by the wickedness of man that he is going to take action. And we'll notice that here in a little while. But notice now, verse number 8. But, I love that word in the Bible, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And today I want to preach a message entitled, An Influential Father. An Influential Father. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I do thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have now to come to your word and allow your word to minister to our hearts. And Father, how I realize again that when we think about being a father, one, we can look to you because you are our great heavenly Father. And we can follow in your footsteps. We can be the kind of father that you would have us to be. And I think about Noah in his day in which he lived. It was not an easy time. It was not an easy day for him to live for you, but he did. And how I'd pray that in this day, in this hour, in this service, that we would also be responsive to your word, that particularly those of us that are fathers, that we would be challenged to realize that our life has influence. Good or bad, it has influence. And help us to influence our families in a godly way. A young father-to-be was pacing back and forth at the hospital while his wife was in labor. He was tied up in knots for fear and anxiety, and beads of sweat were just dropping off of his face. Finally, at 4 a.m., a nurse had popped out of the door and said, well, sir, you have a little girl. He dropped his hands, became limp, and said, oh, how I thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the awful agony I've had to go through tonight. Right, Logan? All right. You know, it's a joy to be a father. It is a blessing to be a father. It can be tough, to be sure, but the blessings far outweigh the difficulties. God has blessed me with the privilege of being a father of three beautiful young ladies, and they all have their families, but I thank God for the opportunity to still this day be involved in their life. And if there ever was a time when we need godly, influential fathers, it is now. Amen. It is in this day that we need godly, influential men who will lead their families to God. Noah was a man who was an influential father in a very wicked time. Which then tells me this, men, that you and I can also be godly, influential men in our time. I realize we are living in a time, particularly over these last 4 months, that we are seeing things that we thought we would never see in the United States of America. Put the pandemic aside, all the other things that recently that we have been witnessing, who would have ever thought that we would see them now? But we are. And may I say that, believe it or not, they were even much worse in the time that Noah was raising his family. So much so that God says, all right, I've had enough. I'm going to wipe it out. And wipe it out he did with a worldwide flood. And we find then that Noah, though, while he was a man of God, he was a faithful preacher as well. For 120 years, he had preached that judgment was going to come, and God in that was showing man that I am merciful, that I am a long-suffering God. And while in that time, Noah was an influential father. He had pointed his family toward God. So what does that look like then for us this morning? Well, notice with me some things about Noah's life here that I trust will be a help and a blessing to you. Notice in verse number 9 is that Noah was a faithful man. The Bible says here in the context, and Noah walked with God. So being a faithful man, here was a man who knew what it was to have a genuine, vibrant relationship with the God of heaven. It was not like, you know, he's just a part of my life. For Noah, God was the main attraction in his life. He walked with God. Now let me ask you, fathers, this morning, does your family, or would your family say, you know, for my dad, God is the main attraction in his life? That my dad has a genuine walk with God. He has a genuine relationship with God. The main attraction, again, of Noah's life was God. And I trust that my daughters, particularly when I was raising them along with my wife, that they were able to see within me that to dad, God is number one. That God is the priority of my life. I think of what it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So Noah, being a faithful man, walked with God. But here's what I want you to notice as well. As he was walking with God, I want you to notice the climate of the world condition in which he lived. Look now at verse number 11 and 12. Verse number 11 and 12 tells us that it was a wicked time. Look at it. The Bible says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Go back up to verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So, lest you think, well, you know, if I lived in Noah's day, it would have been easy to walk with God. You look at this passage and you have to understand that really it was much worse than with the time in which we are living in. Now think about that for a moment. Again, as I said a moment ago, it was so much worse that God was getting prepared to destroy the earth and wipe man off the face of the earth through a worldwide flood. Now that sounds harsh, I realize, but understand that man at that time had no thought of God in his thoughts. He had no room for God in his life. He was not seeking after God. His thoughts were only evil continually. But yet, in the midst of all that, there was a bright spot. And men, in our day, we need, if you would, to be bright lights. We need to be shining lights in this dark world. We need to lead our families in a way that they would know, hey, even in the midst of wickedness, God is real. God is on the throne. And how are they going to know that? Yes, one, through the Word of God, but they need to see that example in your life as a father. And we find that in this context, the world in which Noah was living, It was a wicked world. It was soon to be a wasted world. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he gives him instruction on how to build an ark. So Noah faithfully, though in the context, in verse number 22, the Bible says here, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded, so did he." So Noah knew that judgment was coming, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you study the scripture from start to finish, you will find that God always sends warning before he sends judgment. Always. And in this context, though, if you would, God had it up to here with the wickedness of man, he still gave man 120 more years. That speaks of the mercy and the long-suffering of God. And here we find in the context that God, again, sent the warning, judgment was going to come, but why did God delay the judgment? For the same reason God always does is because he wants man to have room to prepare. He wants to give man room to repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. And in this context of scripture, that's what's happening. And so Noah was a man in this wicked world that he was living in a world that was soon going to experience judgment. And think about this. You talk about a preacher that had hardly any results. He preached for 120 years and, quote, nobody came down the aisle to get saved. Nobody came down the aisle to repent of their sin and say, Noah, we need to get right with God. Nobody did. Think about how disappointing that has to be as a preacher. I'm speaking as one. I can tell you that can be disappointing if you're only relying on results. But really, he did have a good result. Say, what's that? He got his family into the ark. You see, sometimes you can, quote, save the world and lose your family. Noah was a man who was a faithful man of God. He walked with God in the midst of wickedness. And dads, whether you're a dad or not, really to all of us here this morning, let us be mindful that in this day, what is needed is for Christians to be people who have a genuine relationship with God, who spend time with God. Noah walked with God in the midst of wickedness. Secondly, Noah was a family man. Now, men never underestimate the power or influence that you have. Never underestimate the influence of a father. Just let me pause here before I go on into this text. I was just going over some blessings of my own dad. Most of you know my story, how I was adopted. My dad adopted me when I was 3 years old. He came into my life at that time. He didn't tell me until I was about 9 years old. But to me, Fred Kanaday he's dad to me. Not biologically, but he's dad to me. He raised me and my brothers, my sisters. He influenced me in so many, many ways. Still does. To this day, it was, I think, a week ago that we talked on the phone and we spent over an hour just talking about the things of the Bible. And I thank God that I have a father like that. And as I think about that, my dad has had a great influence upon my life. I don't know what kind of influence your dad had upon your life. I trust that it was a good influence. But may I say that in this context that Noah was a family man, he had a contagious faith. Say, how do you say that? Because look in chapter 7, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." So if nobody else came in that was alive on the earth at the time, Noah got his family into the ark. his sons, his wives, and his wife. I mean, all of them were able to go into the ark. And that was, if you would, that speaks to me of the power of Noah's faith. And his family said, you know, Dad may not be perfect, but Dad is a man who walks with God. Dad is a man who knows God. Dad is a man who has influenced me and hasn't turned me off. Let me give you a Bible example of the opposite of this. Lot, the Bible says, had a family. Lot pitched his tent, the Bible says, towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He got into the city. He became a politician. He was one that would sit at the gates, as they did at that time. Now, the Bible, you got to remember, says that Lot was called just Lot. He did have a relationship with God, though weak. So here is a man that was warned that judgment was going to come. God was soon going to just bring down fire and brimstone from heaven upon the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. God wasn't going to do it until Lot and his family got out. To me, a beautiful picture of the rapture, by the way. But that said, we find in the context that Lot in the context, the Bible says that his son-in-laws mocked him. Far different than Noah. Noah was able for 120 years to get his family prepared to go into the ark. Lot had again time. He had warning. Hey, get your family ready. Judgment is coming. But when he says something, he is mocked by his son-in-laws. May I say that is heartbreaking as a father to realize that your family is not going God's way. Your family is going their own way. That's heartbreaking. But for the life of Noah, Noah possessed a very contagious faith. He also possessed a compassionate faith. His sons, men, learned to be godly men because Noah spent time with them. You know, I read this week that the average father spends about 59 minutes a day with his family. I don't mention that to guilt anybody. It used to be much lower than that the average father would spend about 5 minutes a day with his family. But I think about this, that you and I have great opportunity to influence our young men and our young ladies to become men and women of God. And God has placed that responsibility upon us. And children today, you know what they need? They need direction from you as a father. They need that. They need your presence. They need your influence. And excuse me, don't get mad at me. If you do, take it up with the Lord. But your kids don't need iPhones and tablets and all of these video games. They really need you as a dad. That's who they need. I mean, okay, if it's this one thing, if you spend time together playing the video game, but I see so many parents, you know, here, the babysitter is the television. Well, watch this, watch that, while we go do what we want to do. May I say that kids don't need all of the technology. They need you as a dad. Amen? They need your influence. They need your presence. And as I think about this, dads, your children are watching you as an example, just as Shem, Ham, and Japheth watched their dad, Noah, and they learned that to Noah, to our dad, God is important. God is real in his life. And note this, what your children see in you, they will magnify. You think about that statement for a moment. What they see in you as a dad, they will magnify. Hey, dads, those of you that particularly have the smaller children, have you yet experienced them doing something like you do? You'll get there, Logan. he'll want to get in your shoes. You know, your shoes are this way and his little feet are that way. Yeah, kind of interesting. I remember my girls trying to walk around with my shoes on, you know, big old clods in there and so forth. That just showed me again, even an example like that, that they are watching me. And your kids, Dad, are watching you. They are going to be led by your example, by your influence, and what they see, they will magnify. You know, it breaks my heart when I have seen and heard fathers say this, "Well, I'm not going to force my kids to go to church because my parents forced me to go and I hated it. And so I'm not going to force my kids to go. I'll just trust them to make the right decision when that time comes." There's one big problem with that. One big problem. Here it is. Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. What was Joshua doing? He, as a father, was leading his family to God. He was setting the example. It was real in his life, because he was able to lead the children of Israel on into Canaan land. And yet, he, by example, said, "You know what? We are going to go God's way. We're going to go to church when the doors are open. Oh, Dad, do I have to go?" Yes. But I don't want you to get to a place where you feel you have to go. I want you to get to a place where you want to go. You know, I don't know that my girls, maybe they would tell me differently. I don't know that I've ever asked them. Of course, they didn't have much choice. I'm the pastor. They got to come. But, you know, even as my girls, of course, two of them married preachers. But, you know, I don't think my girls would ever tell you that they felt forced to go to church. You don't want to know why they enjoyed coming to church? Now, I know this may not sound like a very deep spiritual reason, but they enjoyed coming to church because they got to see their friends at church. And they couldn't wait. In fact, one of them one time went home, unbeknown to me and Teresa, went home with one of our deacons. Yeah, this really happened. And the deacon called us and said, "Hey, we have your daughter. She snuck into our car. We did not know it." Wow. So we just let her. I think we let her stay there. But nonetheless, you know, so I'm telling you, I have tried over the years as we were raising our girls to let them see that church, I don't know if I like to use the word fun, but I'll use it anyway, that church is a fun place. Yes, it's a place of worship. Yes, but I want them to come and realize, hey, this is the place I can get saved. This is the place that I can grow in the Lord. And dads, don't ever fall prey to this idea, "Well, I was forced, so I don't want to force my kids," because I can tell you by experience, if you leave it up to them, you know what happens? They don't come. They don't come. Why? Because I've seen it happen here over the 28 years I've been here as your pastor, where we've had some children that come to this church that don't come with mom and dad. But they're here with us from kindergarten to about sixth grade. Once they get into seventh grade, most, I would say 99% of the time, they stop coming. Why? One of the big reasons. Because mom and dad's not here. They found funner things to do. And dads, don't allow that to happen in your family. Be a dad that says, "You know, I realize I'm not a perfect man, but God use me. God help me to lead my family toward you. Help me to give my family the godly over the temporal." That doesn't mean they can't have fun. That doesn't mean they can't have some gadgets and so forth. I'm not saying that. But the greatest thing they need is a dad who knows God. And so Noah was a faithful man. Noah was a family man. But here's what I like about the Bible. The Bible is written in such a way that it shows us Bible characters with warts and all. There's really only two individuals in the Bible that you cannot find any flaws in. One was truly perfect. The other one was not a perfect man, but you really don't see any big glaring sins in his life, Joseph and Jesus. But in the life of Noah, you know, there was a time, sadly, when he was not only a faithful man and he was a family man, but he was also a faltering man. In chapter 9, verse 18 through 25, we find an account where Noah, now the flood has transpired, and after the flood, we find that Noah gets drunk. And young ears in here this morning, I won't go into it, but it involved a wrong kind of a relationship, and as a result, then one of his sons was cursed. The Bible says in verse 25, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, I say that to say this. Though Noah walked with God, he stumbled. And dads, you and I, as much as we desire and discipline our life to walk with God, there will be times we stumble. There will be times we might go by the wayside a little bit. There may be times we're not as close to God as we should be, and we know that we ought to be. And yet, even though Noah walked with God, he stumbled. You know, knowing that I have the potential of faltering keeps me more focused on my Heavenly Father. I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding. I pray for direction. Because I tell you that I can falter. You can falter this morning. We can at times not be as faithful as we should be. I think about what the Bible says in Timothy. It's a phrase of a verse I'm going to pull out where it says this. He abides faithful even though we do not abide faithful. I'm so glad God stays faithful all the time, aren't you? All the time God is faithful. God is never inconsistent. God is always faithful. But I'm not. I'm not as always faithful in my relationship with God. I'm not as always faithful as in my prayer life as I should be. And I don't beat myself up for that, but I'm just saying that I ask God, help me to stay focused on you in the midst of all that's going on around society. I tell you that we can easily lose focus. We can get focused on the pandemic. We can get focused on the rioting. We can get focused on all the negativity in our society. But may I say, may God help us to keep looking up, that we would stay focused on Him, that we keep looking toward Him, because He knows how we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Sometimes we can get there. Noah got there. A faltering man, yes, but praise God, he was also a forgiven man. We find in chapter 9, verse 11 through verse 13, verse 16 and 17, that God gave a beautiful promise. I want you to notice with me. Verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be over a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Amen? What is that? That's the rainbow. The beautiful colored rainbow that we see. Every time you see a rainbow, that is a symbol of God's promise that He is going to keep, because God keeps His promises. And He says, I'm never going to flood the earth again the way I did then. I'll never do it that way again. And thank God that Noah was not only a faltering man, but Noah was a faithful man. Now, dads, today, It's a beautiful day for us to determine that on this Father's Day, we would be men who know what it is to be a faithful man. The Bible teaches us that it's required of a steward that a man be found what? That he just be found faithful. A faithful man. Now, I know, kids, you might not have a dad that's real athletic. But that doesn't mean he doesn't care for you and love you. He can spend times with you in other ways. For instance, my dad was, God blessed him financially over the years with his business. And so it was not, in fact, it was very common during the winter months, around Christmas time. Not saying he did it every year, but it seemed like it was almost every year. He would take us as a family on a vacation somewhere. One year, he took the family to Hawaii. I missed out on that one. Why? Because I was struck with love. Yes. I came home from college for Christmas break, and my dad said, hey, you want to go, son? I thought, man, here's an opportunity to spend time with Teresa. No way am I going to Hawaii. No offense, Teresa, but now I haven't had a chance to get back to Hawaii since. You and I are going to go, maybe on our 50th anniversary. I don't know. But we'll go someday. But I tell you, Dad would take us, I'll never forget our first vacation. We went out toward the Badlands, and we went to Yosemite Park, and we got to see Old Faithful. And I remember this so much because the way our vacation started out that time, we took our car, and Dad pulled a camper, one of those pop-up campers. And I'll never forget, as we approached the park, do not feed the bears. Guess what we were doing? But not just us, everybody else. We were all feeding the bears, orange slices. But anyway, I remember that. I remember going out to California. We flew to California. My older brother drove the, now we moved up from a pop-up camper, and Dad bought a motorhome. And so my brother and his family drove the motorhome out to California, and we flew out there. And so Dad timed it that we'd all meet at the same time and so forth. And then began our three-week journey on the West Coast. Went to California, went as far as to Texas, and here's what I loved about that vacation. Because school at that time was in session. Yes. That means we got out of it for a couple of weeks. We always hated what we had to do when we got back, but nonetheless, I think about those memories like that. I went on a missions trip with my dad and mom to Romania. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that trip. My dad has been blessed in so many ways. But here's the one thing about my dad. I just see it to this day. Waking up in the morning, and I go out past the living room, and I'd see my dad sitting in the living room with his Bible in hand. Then he'd lay that Bible down. And then he would put his hands over his head like this. I can still see my dad praying. I can still see my dad reading the Word. My dad to this day, him and my mom, they'll read 10 chapters together every day. And then they will take the hymnal and they will sing. That's just what they do. But I'm telling you, that made such an influence on this young boy. Was my dad perfect? No. Did he ever falter? Yes. But one of the things that stayed consistent with my dad was his walk with God. And that set the example for me. That's why when he challenged me, son, get up 15 minutes before you normally do and read the Bible. You know why I could do it? Because I saw him doing it. Chad, you're right. I'm an early riser. You want to know I like to rise early? Because it's in the cool of the day. It's quiet. And I can just listen to God through his word. That has been a practice for me. When I became a teenager, my dad said, son, I challenge you. He didn't make it a rule. He just said, I challenge you. But it wasn't a hard challenge to follow through on. Why? Because I saw him do it. He led the way. So dads today, determined to be a faithful man, determined to be a family man, you're only going to get that precious family that you have one time. And believe me when I say, they will be out the door before you know it. And in most cases, they probably will move away from you like they have for us. I think they should pay for our trips, but nonetheless. But you have that family with you one time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Spend time with them. Every chance you get down on the floor and wrestle with them. Say, well, I have girls. So what? That's what we raised. I flipped them over my shoulder. Yeah, I'd get on the ground, wrestle with them. They'd cry out for mom. Mom, help me. Yeah, it was fun. I need to wrap this up. But let me say this, just in passing. Don't let people scare you away. Because people tried to scare me and Teresa by saying, you wait till your girls get teenagers. I'm telling you the truth. Those were some of the funnest years of our family time. We had fun. We enjoyed it. I mean, we had memorable moments when our girls were teenagers. So just lean into it, each phase of it. Oh, now my boy's going to go into be a terrible two. Who says? Because every other kid's terrible twos. No, what I found, it wasn't the terrible twos, it was the threes. Say, well, they like to sleep with me. I know, I get it. That didn't stop in our family until our youngest got into first grade. Say, man, didn't you make him sleep on the floor? Yeah, we tried that. It didn't work. There's just something about wanting to sleep with mom and dad. So don't think yourself weird if that's happening in your house, but I salute you if that never happens. But I tell you, take time with your family. Take time for your family. You know, the Bible talks about the mother that one day that your kids would arise and call you blessed. I can't take this necessarily scripturally, but I think if you'll be a man that walks with God, lives for God, be consistent and love on your kids, they'll grow up and respect you. Amen. They'll grow up and still lean into your wisdom and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? They'll lean into that. Why? Because as a young father, you have just learned to try to be consistent and love God. Noah made an impact. So can you. And may God help us to be godly men. Let's pray together. Now, Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how I thank you this morning for the example of Noah. How you showed us, if you would, his perfections. You showed us his imperfections. And yet he still made a very strong impact upon his family. And before me, our fathers. Some have raised their kids and they have their own families like I do. But in this congregation, as you see, Father, our young fathers who are in the process. And they need wisdom, they need understanding, they need direction. And they don't have it all figured out. I didn't have it all figured out. I learned as I went. I thank you for godly examples that I could follow. And how I'd pray for these young fathers that are in this congregation this morning that you would grant them wisdom and understanding. Help them to be men that really walk with you and develop a relationship with you that is so real that their kids know that to God, or that to them, God is real. Oh, may it be said of their children that my dad knows God. My dad loves God. My dad loves going to church. My dad loves the things of the Lord. And my dad loves me. Oh, may that be said. Father, I know this is not an easy day. It's never been an easy day to be a father. But I would pray that you would strengthen us as godly men, that we would grow in our relationship with you, that we would seek you first, and that you would give us an unusual amount of wisdom to love our wife and to love our children and to lead them toward you. In Jesus' name, not their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Would there be those here this morning, in particular as men, who would say, Pastor, I do realize that I need to be a faithful man. I needed to really develop a walk with God. I really need to grow in that relationship. I really want to lead my family toward God, but I realize for that to happen, first of all, I've got to be a godly man. I've got to live out a vibrant relationship with God. He's got to be real in my life. And I would that you remember me in prayer, Pastor, this morning, that I would learn to develop a godly walk. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand where you're at? Anybody at all as a father this morning say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I really want to develop a deeper godly walk. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Would there be a father here this morning who would say, Pastor, in my life, I really need you to remember me in prayer this morning that I would be a father who would take the time I need for my wife and for my kids. I have a lot of things that call for my attention. But I would that you remember me in prayer, that I would learn to really discipline myself, discipline my time, and really take time for my wife and my kids. That's a need in my life as a father. That's the case this morning. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Anybody at all? Yes, God bless you. Someone else? Anyone else while we wait? One other question. Would there be anybody here this morning who say, Pastor, man, woman, boy, or girl, say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I do not know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I really would like to nail it down. If that's your need this morning, would you lift your hand up your hand? Say, yes, that's my need. That's my need. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, how I thank you for working in hearts this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak as a father to fathers. We are in this together, and we are living in difficult and challenging times, and yet we can still live for you. And how I'd pray that you would strengthen the fathers this morning, that you would help them to grow in their relationship with you and with others, particularly with their family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.